We are so glad you're here with us, and I hope you had some good breakfast and good coffee, too. That Phoenix coffee is really, really good. So your friend here, Ray Souza, I'm in for Drew Warner, who is taking some time off with his family. We are so happy that you decided to be here this morning with us. I don't know about you, but I was driving here this morning, and I thought, like, my two favorite, like, times of the year, it's Christmas, when we celebrate, you know, the fact that Jesus was born, but then Easter, that we celebrate his resurrection. And I was thinking, like, spring is such a beautiful time, because I get, towards the end of winter, I get really tired of all the brown, right? All the trees, like no leaves, no nothing. But it's nice when everything is green, and around Christmas time, you know, we celebrated the fact that Jesus, our Savior, our King, he came and he gave his life for us, and he was indeed resurrected. And that's beautiful. That's good news. So today, if you could pray with me and ask God to bless his words to our hearts this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for this opportunity that we have together. And we thank you for your presence here with us. I thank you for every person that you brought here today with the purpose to worship you, with the purpose to encourage one another, but also the purpose of hear your words. And Father, that's exactly what we're going to be doing now. And we ask your Holy Spirit, who lives inside of us, that you can inspire your word to us. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and thank you. Amen. So if you can open your Bible with me to Matthew 21. And here we have Jesus' triumphal entry as the king, and we read this. Matthew 21, starting in verse 1. By the way, if you are new to Good News Church and you hear a little bit of an accent, it's your friend here from Brazil. So just for you to know, I know that sometimes people are like, is he Italian? Is he European? Is he Hispanic? I'm Brazilian, so it's Latino America. So, and it's Portuguese that we speak, just a little bit different than Spanish. So the accent, it's Brazilian, Portuguese, Porto English, something like that. So here we go. Matthew 21, verse 1. As Jesus and the disciples approached Jerusalem, they came to the town of Bethpage on the Mountain of Olives. Jesus sent two of them on ahead. Go into the village over there, he said. As soon as you enter, you will see a donkey tied there with its colt beside it. Untie and bring them to me. Verse 3. If anyone asks what you are doing, just say the Lord needs them, and he will immediately let you take them. This took place to fulfill the prophecy that said, tell the people of Jerusalem, look, your king is coming to you. He is humble. He is riding on a donkey's colt. The two disciples did as Jesus commanded. Verse 7. They brought the donkey and the colt to him and threw their garments over the colt, and he sat on it. Most of the crowds spread their garments on the road ahead of him, and the others cut branches from the trees and spread them on the road. Jesus was in the center of the procession, and the people all around him were shouting, praise God for the Son of David. Blessing on the one who comes in the name of the Lord. praise God in the highest. Verse 10, the entire city of Jerusalem was in an uproar as he entered. Who is this? They asked. And the crowds replied, it is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. It is Jesus, the prophet from Nazareth in Galilee. And this, you know, this affirmation here in this last verse kind of like confirmed the question that Nathanael, he asked in John 1:46. He asked, you know, can anything good come from Nazareth? Can anything good? And this, you know, kind of answers that beautifully. It's Jesus. It is our Savior. It is our King. And he came, you know, sitting on a donkey. What a display. I mean, if you can picture with me, you know, as we go back in this story, and this story, it fulfills the prophecy in the Old Testament, Isaiah 62:11. It says this, the Lord has sent his message to every land. Tell the people of Israel, look, your Savior is coming. Many, many years, Isaiah is talking about this fact that really happened. The Savior came, Jesus, and he came in this humble, humble way. And here it says, he brings his reward with him as he comes. Another beautiful prophecy that this fulfilled, it's in Zechariah 9:9. It says, rejoice, all people of Zion. Shout in triumph, O people of Jerusalem. Look, your king is coming to you. He is righteous. He is victorious. Yet he is humble. He is riding on a donkey, riding on a donkey's colt. And maybe we could, you know, in this day, maybe we could change this Zechariah 9 because we are seeing from, you know, the past. We could say, you know, rejoice, all people of God. Shout in triumph, all people of God, all church of God. Look, your king has come to you. So, you know, this morning on Palm Sunday, we celebrate the fact that a king, King Jesus, his name, came for you and me. And that's remarkable. That's remarkable. That's remarkable that God had this plan in history. You know, many, many years that in order to save us from our sins, that he would send us a Savior. And our Savior came, and he is righteous. He is a victorious Savior. But he came in a way that was kind of like not completely understood by those at that time who was waiting for a powerful king. Here come this king in a very humble way, sitting on a donkey, riding on a donkey's coat. And I would love to talk about this morning a little bit about Jesus, our humble king. Jesus, our humble king. Think with me. Jesus, who is the Son of God, Jesus, who is the second person of the Trinity, Jesus, who, when we study the Bible, was the agent that created everything. He was called in John the Word. He is the act of God, and he created everything. Right? This Jesus, he could have come in splendor. He could have come like in glory, but he decided, because of the plan that he had in hand, he decided to come this humble way, riding on this donkey. You know, here we have Jesus in the final week of his life, coming, you know, as God the Father has promised that he would come. And many, you know, definitely they were surprised because he came in this very, very humble appearance, you know, getting ready to do what? Getting ready to offer his life as a sacrifice for all of us. And here we have Jesus, our King, you know, riding to suffer, riding to die for us on the cross of Calvary. Definitely, you know, the kingdom of God and the kingdom of our Savior Jesus Christ was a different kingdom, right? I don't know how many of you watch like the celebrities, like for example, Queen Elizabeth, when she had her 50-year jubilee. I don't know who remember, you know, but it was all over the internet, all over the news. And it was such a beautiful solemnity, right? It was such a beautiful event. But here, you know, the solemnity here, it was very, very simple. It was very, very ordinary. Here, there was no, like, heralds at arms. There was no trumpet sounded. There was no chariots of state. There was no people, you know, displaying beautiful dresses or the guard displaying their beautiful, you know, uniforms. Why? Because for such thing as this, it was not agreeable to the present state of humiliation of our Savior and King, Jesus Christ. I mean, even at that time, you know, donkeys were used, you know, for people to travel to different places. And if you ask yourself, why not a horse? Because horses were used at that time for like great men in power. Horses were used for, you know, war. But here we have the Son of God, the Son of Man, Jesus Christ. Think about this. As being like 100% God, he could have called like a mighty angelic being to take him into Jerusalem, right? I don't know how many have, you know, watched some of the study like Revelation and some of those angelic beings, you know, those beautiful horses. I mean, Jesus could. He could call on this splendid, on this amazing creature that would take him in the air, right? Like horses with like wings, right? I mean, he could. But to fulfill the prophecy, to be obedient to the plan of his Father, we have here our Savior, our humble King. Picture him. Picture this humble, humble King. I love 2 Corinthians 8:9. It says this, "You know the generous grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Though he was rich, yet for your sake and my sake, he became poor, so that by his poverty, me and you could become rich." I always loved this verse here in the scripture. I always love the development here. You know, our Savior, Jesus Christ, the rich one, being one with God, he came into this world, became a man, was born from a virgin. He became poor so that the poor and affected by sin, all of us, we could be enriched by his life. I don't know about you, but when I look back in my own life and when I started to having, you know, a real relationship with Jesus Christ, with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, you know, my life has been like transformed by this humble King. And I believe your life as well, when we look back, you know, he has deposited so many riches in our own lives. Starting with like salvation, starting with like making us, you know, his children, his, you know, son and daughters, giving us a future, giving us hope, releasing us from all our sins, giving us an inheritance in him, calling us his own, you know, Jesus, our humble King. But this was a beautiful characteristic in him. Right? He was humble. Humility was a characteristic. I love Philippians 2, 5 to 11. It says this, "You must have the same attitude that Christ Jesus had. Though he was God, he did not think of equality with God as something to cling to. Instead, he gave up his divine privileges. He took the humble position as a slave and was born as a human being. When he appeared in human form, he humbled himself in obedience to God, and he died a criminal's death on a cross." Verse 9, "But God elevated him to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of the Father." That was said. That's what God did to our humble king. He humbled himself, but God the Father elevated him and put him in the highest place so that every knee should bow. And you know, in today's world, we see some knees, we see some tongues confessing that he is Lord, we see some knees bowing down and recognizing, yes, he is the Lord in my life. But there will be a day. There will be another coming, a second coming of this king. And it's going to be powerful. It's going to be in splendor. The display is going to be incredible. The things that, you know, it will be part of that jubilee, as to say, it's going to be, you know, out of proportion for us to understand. And God's word said that in that day, every knee will bow. In that day, every tongue will confess, there is no way he is the Son of God. There is no way he is the King of Kings. He is the all-powerful one. We have not seen anything like it. But do you know what? We have not seen anything like it in our humble King, Jesus Christ, dying for us on the cross, resurrecting in the third day. It is a beautiful, amazing thing that when we stop to think and when we watch what he did and read what he did for us, we are in awe and we recognize he is the King. We recognize he is my King. He is my Lord. I love James 4, 6 and 7. It says this, "As the scriptures say, God he opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble." And then scripture says, "So humble yourself before God." Humility was something important in the life of our Savior. But I believe humility, it is something important for us to learn with our Savior as well. It is important in our lives as followers of Jesus Christ to display the humility that he had and to have an opportunity to be exalted by him as we humble ourselves before him. Philippians, you know, going back to Philippians, Philippians was talking about not only talking about Jesus and his humility, but it was talking about us. And here it's what it says about us. Don't be selfish. Don't try to impress others. Be humble, thinking of others better than yourselves. Don't look out only for your own interest, but take an interest in others too. You must have the same attitude that Jesus had. And if we can just stop and thinking here, you know, Jesus coming in, right? He's coming in, you know, in a donkey, in this humble way. What was in Jesus' mind? I don't think it was himself. Definitely in his mind was like, you know what? I'm coming in obedience to my Father. My Father sent me to do, you know, this work here, and I'm coming in obedience. But also, you know, if you watch this, the triumphal entry of Jesus, how many have watched, you know, movies of Jesus coming on a donkey, you know, this triumphal? It's beautiful, and he has like a big smile in his face. He is like shaking hands with people. What is in Jesus' mind when he came in a humble way? I believe it was you. I believe it was me. We were the people at that time, the people of the whole world. They were in Jesus. Jesus was thinking about them. He was thinking them better than himself. And that for us, it's like unbelievable, isn't it? To think about the fact that Jesus thought you better than himself. So humility, it is so, so important in our lives as it was in his life. And we can ask, like, why? Why? For example, Psalms 25:9, it says this, he leads the humble in doing right. God does. He teaches them his way. See, humility, being humble, it's so important for us all. Because that's when, you know, God show us what is right to do. That's when God teach us his way. When I am proud and all about myself and I think, you know, I am the truth and not Jesus is the truth, the way, and the life. You know, it's fine to have, you know, the right to think like that. And I remember being there, thinking I knew it all. Thinking that, you know, things are the way that they are for me. Thank you very much if you think different, right? But the truth is when we are humble, he teaches us his way. His way. He shows us what it is right to do. I also love Proverbs 22:4. It says, the reward for humility in fear of the Lord is riches, is honor in life. When we humble ourselves, you know, God exalts us and God enriches us and he honors us and he gives us of his life. I also love James 4:10. It says, humble yourself before the Lord, and he will exalt you. I don't know about you, but I need to be reminded very often about not being proud and arrogant, puffed up, because it's so easy for me to be there. You know, as a young person, I grew up like playing sports and succeeding in playing sports, and it quickly became all about me and my accomplishments. And you know, I thought I was on the top of my game, and I think I was, right? On my way to become a professional soccer player in Brazil, which is, you know, a great professional career to have. But I was empty. I was proud. I was all about myself, but I had this big hole in me that when I laid my head in the pillow at night, I asked myself, what else is lacking? What else is lacking? I lacked a new life given to me by the Son of God. You know, what was that hole? No one else could fill that hole but Jesus Christ himself. And it took humility. I remember, you know, going to the fellowship of athletes and hearing for the first time a message, an explanation on how I could receive Jesus Christ and have him as my Savior. I remember sitting in the back so that people would not recognize, you know, who I was. And I was kind of in disguise right in the back. You know, I didn't want to be associated with those Christian players, you know, at that time, even though there was some, you know, big professional players at that meeting as well participating. But I was there hiding myself. And I came to that meeting once after my friend inviting me 1,000 times. I came to that meeting a second time. And the third time that I came to that meeting and I was sitting all the way in the back, I was like bawling. It was when I understood that big hole that I have, the only one that could fill was the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus Christ. And when I made that decision to humble myself, I started experiencing like peace. I started experiencing something that I could not explain. I was not producing those results myself as I was, you know, accustomed to in the past like 5 years of my life, just leading myself on my own and to become like successful. You know, now I am here, like in this lonely, humble place, recognizing that, you know what? I need Jesus. Yes, I do. He is the one that will fulfill me. And that was a beautiful decision that I made. I love this other verse in 1 Peter 5:5. It says, clothe yourself, all of you, with humility towards one another. For God, he opposes the proud, but God, he gives grace to the humble. You know, just like we need to dress ourselves daily, right, with clothing, and please do. We need to, you know, dress ourselves daily with humility. It's a call from God to us. It make us look beautiful. It make us, you know, look very attractive when we clothe ourselves with humility, having the same attitude as Christ Jesus, our humble Savior King. I love James 3:3. It says, who is wise and understanding among you? Who is wise and understanding? By his good conduct, let him show his works in meekness of wisdom. You know, the world that we live, they have a different concept of the wise and the understanding, right? But in the eyes of God and in the eyes of our Savior, the wise and the understanding, it's those who conduct themselves in humility, in meekness of wisdom. Proverbs 29:23, it says, one's pride will bring him low, but he who is lonely in spirit will obtain honor. And God wants to honor us. He wants to honor you and me when we humble ourselves. Here are two of my favorite verses when talking about being lonely and contrite, you know, from the Old Testament. And these two verses kind of like had a big impact on my life and it still do, because I said, you know, I need to be reminded daily that puffing up, it's not part of God's plan. Being arrogant, being proud, you know, is not part of the plan of God for my life. But being humble, right? Isaiah 57:15, it says this, for thus says the one who is high, the one who is lifted up, the one who inhabits eternity, whose name is holy. This is God, the powerful, all-powerful one. It says, I dwell in the high and holy place, but I also dwell with those who are contrite and who are lowly in spirit, to revive the spirit of the lowly and to revive the heart of the contrite. See, God thinks awesome for me and you to be in this place of recognizing that He is God and we are not. To be in this place where, you know, we are humbling ourselves in the sight of God. And in the sight of God, it's everywhere. It is, you know, as a husband at home, I am to humble myself. It is as a wife at home, you are to humble yourself. It is at work where you go every day. Jesus wants you in His sight to humble yourself, to be, you know, contrite and lowly. And the promise is, if we do it, He will be there, the Lord of Lords, creator of everything. You know, where is He present every single day? He is right there with the lowly and contrite in spirit to revive them, to revive their hearts, to revive their spirit. And together with Isaiah 66:2, it says this, all these things my hand has made, and so all these things came to be, declares the Lord, but this is the one to whom I will look. The one who is humble, the one who is contrite in spirit, and the one who trembles at my word. Where is God's eyes? It's not in the powerful. It's not in the cutting edge technology of our days. The eyes of the Lord, His presence, is with those that decides to daily humble themselves, to daily recognize that He is Lord. I will be with them. I will be with them. I will be with those who trembles at my word. What it is for me and you to tremble at His word is to take it serious, right? It's to feed ourselves, you know, with His word, because, you know, it's nourishment to our spirits. You know, His word, it's important because, you know, if I don't feed in His word, you know, the natural tendency for me is to be puffed up. When I think about being puffed up, I think about that fish. What's the name of that fish that, you know, when the enemy comes, he to protect himself, he is that the puff up fish? My goodness. Nice to meet you, puff up fish. Yeah. So Jesus don't want you and me to be that puff up fish, right? He will protect us. He doesn't want us to be arrogant, you know, fool ourselves. But He wants us to be humble because He wants to guide us. He wants us to recognize Him and be contrite in spirit because He is going to show us His way. He's going to bring like riches. He's going to honor us. He's going to show us His way. Jesus, our humble King, He wants us, His followers, to be humble as well in the manner that we conduct our lives. And you know what? I don't know about you, but we do live in a world where it doesn't take much for people to puff themselves up. It doesn't take much to be like, you know, it is my way or the highway, you know. We live in a world, you know, very like proud of everything. And I believe that Jesus, our humble King, even as we celebrate Palm Sunday, He wants to remind us, His followers, that, you know, the nature that He came in that first coming was in humility. And He wants us to have the same attitude of Him. He wants us to be imitators of Him as His children. He wants us to follow His example. And the question that I ask myself is, will I follow? You know, and what keep me from doing, from following Him? And it is pride. It is because I think my plan is better than His plan for my life. I'll never forget the first time that I was confronted with this phrase, God's plan for your life, it's 10,000 times better than the best plan that you can come up for your life. And the person asks me, and if you doubt that, it's okay. Try it. Try it. Just try it. And I'm telling you, I have been trying God's plan since age 17. And when I look back on my life, His plan is splendid. It's way better. It's glorious, better than the best plan that I had for my own life. But He wants us, His followers, to be humble servants so that we can make a difference in this world. It is Philippians 2, 3, and 5. Do not be selfish. We already have those representatives all around, full of themselves, puff up by, you know, the little things. Don't try to impress others. That takes a lot of pressure, doesn't it? You know, if you think that, you know, tomorrow, you don't have to go to work to impress people. Today, you don't have to be with those that you are going to be in a manner of like, you know, what impression can I cause? But you can take on the same mind and attitude as your Savior, humble King, and humble yourself and be thinking of others better than yourself. See, this is the kingdom of God, who is totally different than the kingdom of this world. It is an upside down kingdom that me and you are invited to join in. Do not look out for only your own interests, but take the interests of others too. And Jesus, He does not just ask us to do that. He showed us by example. And He did that for us. He came humble in that procession, you know, riding on that donkey. And He had you and me in mind. And what He was about to do, you know, in that last week of His life was going to change the world forever. And it has. Was going to change people's life forever. And it has changed my life forever. The servant King, Jesus Christ, the humble King, is calling us to follow Him with humble hearts, humble hands, as servants. And I am so thankful for the servants that we have and the humble people that we have in this church here. I am. I am so thankful for my friend Drew, who is a humble, humble servant. Very thankful for him and Laura and how they keep on giving their lives for us. I'm very thankful. Not many pastors that way lay down their lives as they do it. And I'm very thankful for the friendship that we have. Very thankful for my wife. And how she has put up with my puff-upness, right? So many times. And brought me back to the place where I should be. Humbleness. By humbling herself. So very thankful for that. So very thankful for the brothers and sisters that sometimes look me in the eye and say, "Brother, that's not the way of Jesus, brother. Do not be puffed up. Humble yourself. He will be with you. He will dwell with you." So, happy Palm Sunday. And this is the good news of God's word for us today. Amen? Let's pray. Father, thank you so very much for that procession that took place on that first Palm Sunday. Thank you for coming for us. Thank you for doing the way that you did for us. Thank you for being my Savior, God. Thank you for forgiving me of all my sins and the shame that I could carry with me for the rest of my life. Thank you for paying for that. And Lord Jesus, please help us. Help us to take on the same attitude and mind as you had. Help us to be the hands and the feet of Jesus Christ with humble hearts at home, at work, in our community. Help us to bring the Savior display to many that perhaps are still like we were, puffed up, not knowing the Savior, not knowing the love of God. I don't know how you came here today, friends, but the Savior loves you. He has a plan for each one of us. His plan is great. If you doubt, it's okay, but please try it. Please try it. Let Him prove to you why He created you for something way more special than just like existence here in the face of this world. If you are here and maybe you never received Jesus Christ in your life as your Savior, He is knocking at the door of your heart. And if you, by faith, just open, He will be there to fill you, to give you life, to give you hope, to give you the peace that all your sins are paid by the blood of Jesus. And if you would like to make that decision today, you can. You can just say with me a simple prayer. You don't have to pay for it because He already paid the price on the cross. Jesus, we just sang today, He paid it all. All to Him we owe. So you can say, Jesus, I don't just quite understand it all, but I understand that you love me. I understand that you came for me. I have been maybe like postponing this decision for long, but today I open my heart, Jesus, and I receive you as my Savior. Be with me for the rest of my life. Give me the joy that the brother was early on sharing that he saw in this group here. Give me that joy, the joy of the Lord, and guide me. Thank you, Jesus, for coming to my heart, for saving me in this day. And thank you, Jesus, for being here with us. Thank you for your word, and thank you for being our Savior, humble King. And it's in Jesus' name that we pray and that we thank you. Amen, amen, and amen. Thank you.